What's going on, everybody? We are back at it again with another Stick Talk episode. This is special. Hey, this is the first one I'm actually like proper nervous for.
I'm not going
to
lie.
James, you got me nervous, bro. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, no. It's just me. It's only me, bro.
Hey, how y'all doing, man? Welcome back to another Stick Talk podcast. Yo, we got a lot to say. Apple Music, Spotify, top 50 sports podcast. Hey, let's go, boys. Hey, listen, hey, everybody listen. That's pretty crazy, right? Everybody listen to the live. Make sure y'all like us, rate us, Spotify, Apple Music. And also, while you're on Spotify, check out my boy James Arthur's brand new album. It's out. It's out there. Hey, bro.
It's fire, son.
That song, September, is a tune. We're going to get into it.
Ride is pretty damn good, too. I'm not going
to
lie.
But. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk about it. We have so much to discuss, man. We got, like I said, an awesome guest today. A huge musician, songwriter. Man, your numbers are crazy. The things you've sold, the numbers you've done, mad, bro. Congratulations to you, dude.
Thank you. Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
I'm going to tell you the first time I heard about you. It was funny, actually. I was on my couch. It was late at night. I was watching YouTube videos. And
are you
and
sure then, you can tell this story?
Those YouTube videos, bro. My girl was in the room, bro. I was watching YouTube videos.
That's what I'm saying. Are you sure you can tell this story?
I was watching. And then your song came on Spotify. And it was, bro, what a, oh man, I swear for like the next month, you're on the radio over and over and over. I have so much I want to talk to you about, man. But before we do that, guys, I want to say thank you so much to, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Like I said, make sure to rate us, like us on Spotify. Big ups to Prediction for always helping us put this together. We have a huge sponsor today. We're going to speak about Keeps and we're going to speak a lot of football. And I have a couple questions for you, James, because you like Rangers. You watch the Premier League. I got to talk to you about Stevie G. I know you watched a bit of Rangers last year. Stevie G. Yeah. With Aston Villa, right?
Aston Villa, yeah. He's joined Villa. Yeah, he left Rangers high and dry.
I know. Some of y'all are mad about it. Well, how you feel?
Yeah, I know. My dad is a diehard Glasgow Rangers fan. So I grew up, I had to support Rangers and obviously I'm happy to. But yeah, I mean, he was all the Rangers fans loved Stevie G. He was a perfect manager. He represented everything that the club was about, the passion and everything. And obviously took them to the 55th league title, got them, you know, to a point where they were out of reach of Celtic and stuff like that. So yeah, it's sad to see him go, but you know, they've got another legend in Van Bronckhorst, who the Rangers fans are super happy to have in the managerial position. So yeah, no, it's sad to see Stevie G go, but I think he was always destined for big things, Stevie G, and he's, you know, if he wants to get to the top, he should be in the Premier League. I suppose it's a much more competitive league.
I can't say a word bad about him because I grew up in the 90s and Stevie G's like, for me, I know people will always laugh at me about this, greatest English player of all time. For
me, I mean,
I love him.
He's definitely in the conversation. He has to be.
I love him, dude. I grew up, I just think he held himself well on the field, off the field. He was a leader. He was a good. So for me, I want to see the guy succeed. Every night I stream and, you know, like in the football space, Ranger fans are on. They're not happy. A lot of them are not happy, but I think he succeeds in England, right? You see him succeeding?
I do. I think he's definitely got the attributes. He's got he's always going to be a fan favorite, and it's going to be hard to get results in the Premier League for any manager. It's the hardest league in the world, but I think, you know, I think now we're in a time where players play for a character, for a manager. You see it with Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola, Tuchel. Yeah. I think the modern day player needs a manager to look up to, it like you said, like a manager that has real leadership skills. And I think Stevie G, for me, he fits that mold, doesn't he? You just feel, if I was a player, I'd want to play for Stevie G.
I think it's a respect as well when it comes to that, right? Like most of the players nowadays, of course, they knew who he is, watched him, now, you know what I mean, he could probably deal with those, like anybody with an ego, with a player you know, of that standard could probably deal with egos pretty easily. You know what I'm saying? And
me and my cousin were talking about this last night. We were on the phone, right? And I was talking to my cousin and he made a good point. If you look at like the managers right now, like with Xavi taking over Barcelona and all that, maybe they need those guys they grew up watching to be the guy right now, because it seems like everyone outside of that is starting to slowly kind of like Mudiing was losing his way a little bit. Like they're losing their way, those guys.
Yeah, man. No, I agree with you. I think maybe that ilk of manager is dying out a little bit. That style of management. Because, you know, I think Pep Guardiola has definitely sort of pioneered this new style of management, and he's like sort of set this new blueprint, this new standard of how the game should be played, playing out from the back. There's a lot of pressure on players now, and they have to be technically good. And yeah, I mean, you'd want to be in a dressing room with someone like Stevie G or Xavi, who played at the highest level, won Champions Leagues, and have been through it, and have been in dressing rooms, you know, that demand success and silverware, probably.
So I wonder if Zidane's that guy then, from Man United. Now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, because all
he said
work,
no, you know I, that, right? Did you hear this?
I heard he said no a while ago. Now they're going to give him more money or something like that.
No, but what I heard last, and again, rumors or yes or no, supposedly they asked again. He was like, his wife, he doesn't speak English, so he doesn't want to go.
His wife doesn't want to live in
the UK, supposedly. So
no, she said Manchester, I think.
Did she say Manchester?
I think okay.
Want to live in Manchester.
Yeah, so wait, I've never been to Manchester. I've been to London. I've been to Guildford's in London, right? That's London as well, right? So wait, is Manchester bad?
Yeah. I mean, I think Manny is a great place. I mean, you know, it's not the most glamorous, you know, it's not the most glamorous place in the UK. You know, I think... Yeah, London is more appealing to that sort of
to the outside.
Yeah, I think so. It's more, you know, it's a more cosmopolitan city or whatever. No, Manchester's a great city. It's a great place. It's probably the weather. I mean, what, you know, when you make a certain amount of money, why would you want to go and live in the cold?
The cold, in the sun, no sun and everything like that. Yeah,
I mean, I like miserable weather. I'm from the north, so I grew up around it. But yeah, I think you're right with Zidane. I think the English thing could be a problem. I think, you know, I think United are looking for a certain type of manager. Maybe the way that club is run, I think they enjoyed the fact that Ollie was maybe easy to maneuver.
I feel like they could boss him around a little bit, and they could kind of just get, you know, because he seemed like someone who just purely loved that club. Like even when he like talked in certain interviews, he would like tear up and stuff. He just seemed like somebody that, you know, he just loved United. So
the ultimate.
Sometimes I think being at a team that you like too much could be bad for you, because it kind of blocks your vision.
Makes you a bit of a company man, maybe, you know, like, the thing is like, that's why I don't think Conte necessarily fit the mold for United, because he's going to come in with a lot of stipulations, and same with Mourinho. Like, you know, he comes with a certain amount of demands, and that club is run like a business. So the minute that he doesn't get what he wants in the transfer market and the recruitment, all of a sudden it turns toxic really quick, I think. And United are in a weird position, because like, if they don't bring in a manager now that is a proven winner, Like Brendan Rodgers, for example, would be a good fit for United. But if he didn't succeed and they didn't win silverware, it would be, well, he's never won anything.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So it has to be someone like Zidane, who's won Champions Leagues. But I don't know. You could argue that the team that Zidane took to the Champions League was a bit more oven-baked than say, Man United, who are maybe still a transitional...
I think United did one thing wrong, and this is my thing. I think they went from they were building, right, and they had something going, and they were doing well, and then the bringing in Ronaldo was like the last piece, and they went from building to okay, now it's win right now, and it was like a jump from like it was kind of going well, and then it was like okay, now we got to win now, because when you bring in Ronaldo, it's win now, isn't it? Like you want to
have to win now too, because he doesn't have like it's Ronaldo. Who knows? He might play till 45, but let's be real, he's getting up there in age for a footballer.
Yeah.
So it's like he doesn't have that much time either. Yeah. And you know for a fact he wants Champions League and he wants to win. You can see it in his face, his demeanor and stuff. So yeah, a couple of things in my opinion they should have done is maybe got after a DM and stuff like that. But Ali for me.
I think he was bad, Jay. I think he was a good manager.
I don't think he had the tactics, bro. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I grew up watching like you guys did. You know, I want to see attacking football, bro. I don't want to see a 4-2-3-1 park the bus. And then I don't want to see it. Me personally, I'm not a United fan. But the tactics, I don't know, man. I feel like he just didn't have the answers tactically. You know what I mean?
You know why I think Ollie failed? I'm gonna tell you why I think Ollie failed. But real quick, before we go any further, I gotta give a quick shout out to Keeps real quick. Fellas, listen, man. This is a sponsor that we love working with, because as you guys know, I'm fully bald, all right? My hair started falling out. Maybe if Keeps was around earlier, your man would still have his hair. Fellas, hair loss is real. So listen to me very carefully. Why you laughing, Jay? Your hair's going. Well, I don't know why you laughing, bro.
Why you gotta put me on the spot? I still got mine, though.
We European, babe. When you European, that hair just goes.
Hey, yeah, listen. I'm wearing a hat, man.
Hey, listen, that's Europeans, dude. It's in our genes, man. Listen, guys. Keeps is real. If you are losing your hair, man, make sure to check out Keeps so you can keep your hair, man. If you're ready to take action to prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/TikTok. That's right, keeps.com/TikTok to get a month free for treatment. And after that, man, it's just $10. You'll see results within 4 to 6 weeks. Keeps, I wish I would have known about you. That's a while back, man, when I had my beautiful long hair. And now it's just a shiny, bald head. And if you look at it too long, you can see the future. Guys, make sure to check out Keeps. They are an awesome product. And thank you guys so much for sponsoring today's stream. Now, speaking of the future, I think, you know, Jay, I think where Ollie got it wrong, and I could be 100% wrong here. I just feel like his signings were wrong. And because when you really think about it, the players started coming in with Ollie and stuff. Because did he bring in Harry Maguire? Was he there already? I think he brought him in, right?
I think he brought him in, and they overpaid, honestly, in my opinion. Like, I'm not hating. I know some of you guys out there love Maguire. I don't think he's a captain material. I think he's a decent center back.
Who has he brought in that's hit? Sancho didn't hit.
Bruno.
Bruno hit. Yeah,
that Bruno is literally the only one.
Yeah, Bruno hit.
But the thing about Bruno is, and the thing about the United recruitment in general is, they should have got Bruno a season earlier, and Sancho should have got a season earlier. And the whole Sancho deal, again, because of the way that the club is run, more like a business than a football club, Sancho sort of wasn't needed by the time they were ready to do that deal. It was more about getting a CDM because the emergence of Mason Greenwood on the right, and obviously you bring Ronaldo in. So it's like you've that area is kind of covered. United weren't lacking in an attacking sense. The midfield is so unbalanced. That's the problem with that whole team. It's sort of like just the balance of the squad is not right. I don't think any manager coming in is going to be able to win trophies without fixing that particular part.
Unless a manager can get in and kind of mold Van de Beek to be that guy in that middle.
I mean, he showed up on Saturday. He was the only one who did, didn't he?
Yeah. You kind of saw something from him. But yeah, a lot of the guys they brought in recently. Would you say Wan-Bissaka's a hit or a miss? I think he's a hit because he had a great season. Was it last year he had a good season? The year before? I think it was last season.
Wan-Bissaka's been really, really good for them, bro. Yeah. I feel like Wan-Bissaka, if Ali's the one that actually brought him in, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know if he did or not. That was definitely a good signing. Of course, getting the Varane and stuff too. Varane's been hurt and things like that. I think the poor signings and the thing that they should have done, I agree with James 100%, bro. And I've talked about this in my streams and stuff too, bro. I don't know why. I'm not saying Sancho doesn't belong at United. I think it was a little too late. They needed to work on that midfield, and instead they're going attack, attack, attack. Defense is not as strong, in my opinion, that it should be for a United team. Yeah. And then they just leave the midfield to like, Fred, could Fred be good? Maybe, you know, maybe different formation. They need a proper DM in that team. And I feel like that if they would have got a proper DM in the summertime, I feel like that would have probably been the best transfer window. Even with all the stuff that PSG did, that would have been the best one, dude, in my opinion.
I'll tell you this right now.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Portuguese, right? And the team I'm about to speak about, I hate them completely, but it's true. Man United have one of the best players I've seen play in Europe, and they don't play him. Alex Telles is a he is a monster. That guy can shoot free kicks.
He's a dead ball specialist, isn't he?
Yes, dude. His crossing's amazing. His freak, the way he helps going forward. I seen him play at Porto when Porto wasn't even good, and he was almost carrying that whole side up and down. The problem is Luke Shaw was so great last season. But when you're a European team like that, bro, you can rotate game to game. You should be able to rotate. You should have depth like that. Yeah. So Alex Telles is somebody that I feel should fit into. He's not the best defensively, but dude, when you have Harry Maguire and Varane, I don't know, man. I feel like you shouldn't have to have that much.
What do you mean, dude? Like, are you actually... I don't want to get into this because this is going to be pretty bad, bro. But like, Harry Maguire's not that good, bro. I'm sorry.
For England, he is.
Yeah, that's because of the three-back system.
So maybe if you pay that much for a player, don't you suit him? Suit him. If you got to go to a three-back system, do it.
That's tough.
You know what I mean? Like, I know you're United.
You make a good point about Telles. I think if Conte had come into United, he'd have played three at the back, and Telles would have played wing back. Shaw can play as part of a three. He's had a poor season as a left back, I think, for United.
Yeah. Luke Shaw's one of those guys up and down. And you know, he's so young still. I always forget how young this dude is. I did something a few years back with him, a charity thing, and then it was like a year ago. Dude's still real young, but he has these unbelievable seasons, and then he has like a season where you just forget about him.
Last season, he was arguably the best player for United. Yeah. But it seems to be like there's something not going... With the whole back four, there's something going on. Potentially, the introduction of Varane might have unsettled the back four. And, you know, when he plays, they look a lot better. But I don't know. There's something not quite right there. I agree with you on the Sancho thing. I think Sancho, you know, will be a hit, and he was the right person to bring in. However, there's no out-and-out CDM at the club for me, apart from Matic, who can't play every game. So... I just don't know how they find that balance in the team. And
I think they have to do this. I've been saying this for a year. There's a guy where they got Bruno from, the same exact spot where they got Bruno from. He's called Palinha. He's a Portuguese dude that plays for the Portuguese national team. This guy's amazing, man. This is one of the best CDMs I've seen in a while. And I think they hit on Bruno. They usually, when they get players out of the Portuguese leagues from Spartan, they do well with it. They got Ronaldo, did well. Bruno did well. Go get him, bro. Might as well. Yeah. Go try Palinha and see what happens. But let's talk about music for a little bit. James, talk about this brand new album you dropped, man.
Talk about football with you all night.
Football is one of those where you can keep going, man. Let's talk about this album, dude. So I'll be 100% honest with you. September is a tune. Nice, I want to I actually just pulled this up. Hold on, one quick. So real quick, like the pandemic hits, right? Were you touring before the pandemic or?
Yeah, I was on tour. I started out 2020 with a European tour that I had to cancel. Had some health issues, and then figured those out a bit. And then I did a UK arena tour, and then the pandemic struck right at the end of that tour. So it was I went into lockdown for what's it been now? It was like 18 months or something. And I made a record during that time. So then this is the product of that period of
pandemic
time.
So the reason I bring it up, so for me as a content creator, right, I'm in the house all the time either way, but you have like touring and stuff. How was that being locked in? Like, you just got to be able to lock in on your album, or was it like just terrible being able to tour?
No, I went fucking mental. I went fucking mental for like the first few months. I was you know, eating Doritos and playing FIFA and amongst other unhealthy things. So the first few months, like everyone else, it was just trying to adapt and trying to figure out, you know, navigate this weird time. And then as always, music comes along and is as wanky as it might sound, is a friend to me, and it helps me get through any difficult period in my life. And I sort of used it as a bit of therapy, to be honest. And like I said, this project. I mean, look, this is the cover of the album.
And behind you,
I got given it, and it's like just stuck in my little gaming room at the minute. I don't know where else to put it. Dude, but yeah, that,
You said Doritos. I swear, when that pandemic started, I gained 30 pounds, bro. I didn't know. Like, bro, like, cause like, I didn't go many places because I'm a content creator. I'm always in the house. But at least, like, you go outside and you go for, like, walks and you're, like, go to the store and you get, bro, I ate Doritos, sat inside, drank. Dude, it was bad. It was bad, man.
Yeah, I took up smoking again, all the bad shit.
Everything that you could not want to do that you got away from, you went back into. Can I ask you a question, though, for, like, you were locked up. Do you like set a time in the day? Like, I don't know how the process is to make music, right? Like, does the idea come to you at any moment? Is it like you, or you just like, okay, I'm going to be messing with these beats, this or that. Like, how's the flow, or how does that work for you for like creativity when it comes to it?
That's such a good question. Look at you, bro. Wow.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Well, there's sort of two different processes, that I have, one of them being just picking up an acoustic guitar, which is like my first instrument, you know, where I come up with like the skeleton of most of the songs that I write, the core of the songs, melodies and stuff. I'll sit and I'll kind of spitball melodies and just see what sticks, kind of thing. And then I have a studio in my house, and some of my friends will come over and we'll just sort of work on a beat and just, yeah, we'll just vibe. Like, with this particular album, I kind of had a lot of the ideas before going into the studio sessions, and then we'd sort of just evolve them and manifest them into something bigger on the day. But for me, it's always about the melody. I think the melody is what sticks in your head, the hook. That's kind of my thing, is coming up with a, we call it a top line, the thing that's going to stick with people. And then, the concept usually comes after.
Dude, so say you won't let go. I'm on the couch. The song plays, comes on Spotify. The next
are we getting story time? Is this story time now?
I'm getting married. Hey, look, no, I'm not even saying this just to say it. We're getting married in June. I'm 100% sure this song is playing. Me and Ray, my fiance, for the next month played this song on repeat. That was a coon, bro. So. My question to you is this, as like, I've been making FIFA content for 11 years, right? Let's say I put a banger out and the video, you know, hits 300K views, right? I'm like, oh, now I got to follow up. Do you guys ever do that, bro? As like a musician where like you hit something, you're like, oh, how am I going to top this one? This is tough.
Oh, without a doubt, mate. Say You Won't Let Go is by far my, you know, most successful song. It still hasn't left. It hasn't left the Spotify 100.
Yes, man. Yeah,
it's an absolute beast. I think I'll forever be in the shadow of that song, to be honest. Like, it's an anomaly. It's nearly done 2 billion streams on Spotify. So when you see something like that happen, it's like, I've been lucky enough to have other songs do like half a billion streams. And like, yeah, of course, it's exactly the same as what you guys do. You know, definitely. I mean, I'm a competitive guy. I grew up playing FIFA. I'm a sports fan. Like, I love how in hip hop, it's a sport and everyone's competing with each other. And that's accepted as part of the culture. Whereas in pop music or mainstream music, it's like, it's seen as not being humble to be like, I want to be the number one kind of thing.
Yeah, but
I definitely have that. Me personally, I definitely am chasing greatness in a way. Yeah
you definitely have that hip-hop vibe to you, and you're like a new album, you got like that, like you feel it massively. Thanks, in there. Thanks, but yeah, no dude, that's like one of the biggest things that I have a problem with as a content creator. Like, for example, right now as a content creator, last year for some of us it was our biggest years because the pandemic, everybody had to be home. Like you said, you were playing FIFA, you were, you know, watching videos. So numbers were huge. Now the numbers dip and you're like, oh, is it me? Is it this? I got to hit this. I got to hit that. And you're chasing these numbers that it can drive you mad, bro.
I should say congrats to you guys because you're absolutely killing it. You say you're in the top.
Top 50 Spotify with the podcast.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
We, I started this FIFA stuff, man, like 11 years ago, dude, just as a joke, you know? And I used to do, like you said, playing pro clubs, you know what I mean?
We're gonna talk
about that in 1 second. And then it went, and we'll talk about that real quick. I just want to say one thing. When it comes to Keeps, I messed up. Jack, I can't believe you let me mess this up, man. If you want to pick up Keeps, It keeps.com/stick. No stick talk. Take the talk out of it, bro. Just stick. All right. Use.
I mean, I already caught mine last week, bro. Fault, bro. I'm sorry.
hey. Make sure it's just /stick. Stick. We'll talk about that more. But during the pandemic, James, you said you played a lot of pro clubs.
Before we get into the FIFA, can I ask one question? Just one question. One quick question.
Go.
All right. You know how you were talking about the numbers, like once you made it. Now, for a smaller content creator or a small musician, like trying to get it, did you ever lose confidence before you like started, like, you know, getting your first record out and all this stuff? Was the confidence there, like, at always for you? Like, did you always like, yo, this, it's going to work. It's going to work. Or did that, you know, that negativity sometimes creep in the back of mind that maybe this might not work? Type thing.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think negativity or like self-doubt or confidence is always, you know, it's a part of who we are as human beings, I think. I definitely have had points where I've been like, had that imposter syndrome, like maybe I'm not good enough or whatever. But again, as cliche as it sounds, I think that, you know, you listen to any successful person, anyone who's kind of achieved great things, they talk about showing up. And showing up every day, all you got to do is work hard, and if you work hard enough, you'll get what you want. I've always had strong belief in my ability as a songwriter and as a musician, but there's so many talented people out there. But at the end of the day, it comes down to whether you're ready to show up and do the work or not. I think.
Yeah.
So anybody out there, man, no matter what it is, keep working at it, boys. Grind.
I think it's about tricking your brain. Like, seriously, I think the brain is the strongest thing in a human being, man. If you can trick yourself to believe that you got it like that, eventually it'll happen, man. Like, you just got, you know what I mean? That's how I see it. Like, you got to trick yourself to just want to grind and keep grinding.
Yeah. If you keep feeding that belief system, it's the most powerful thing you've got.
Yeah, man. It really is, dude. It gets you going a certain way. So the pandemic hits. We're stuck in the house. You got pro clubs. Dude, I haven't played pro clubs.
You're missing out.
I know in years, man, but that's how I kind of came up on the YouTube scene through pro clubs way, way back in the day. What do? You just play with your mates or what?
Yeah, I mean, I was always like, I never discovered pro clubs until the pandemic. It happened in such a weird way. I just put my gamer tag on Twitter and I was like, right, come on, I'll whoop anyone who wants to have a game. Because I'm good at FIFA. I played FIFA since I was a kid. Like one-on-one, I reckon I'd give anyone a game. I just put my gamer tag out there, and then like I'd never done that kind of thing before, so I found myself in this like huge party of people just like shouting stuff at me. Like, some people were being dickheads, some people were being cool, and like out of all of that noise, I blocked a lot of people, and I curated this group of like five lads that I've never met in my life before. And then there's like one or two of my mates back home that play a bit of FIFA. And we started this club called Wallop United, and it got us through the pandemic. To be fair, I scored like 1,000 goals. It was good. It was really good fun. And we stream on Twitch as well. Sometimes I don't really like sort of promote it very much or anything. But yeah, I have fun of going there and I play some pro clubs and
A striker, I'm assuming, is a position.
Hold on. Say the Twitch, man.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, no, it's James_Arthur23. We don't get a lot of viewers, but I mean, now I've just shouted you out on this. Maybe we'll get some.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, man. There you go.
Pro clubs. Hey, so, dude, pro clubs. So this is how my pro clubs literally started my career. I played with my cousin. We met some random Portuguese dude in Boston. My brother would play with us. Somehow pro clubs just takes you. You just meet people, and then they somehow become the coolest people. And after a month of playing with them, like, yeah, this is my homie from like years ago. Nah, bro, you've known him for a month.
No, like these guys, I still haven't met them because of the pandemic, because they live like different parts of England, and we've all been busy and some of them got families and stuff. I got mates in Manchester and Watford, and like when you spend hours on an evening, like, and it's all about communication, pro clubs, isn't it? It's like you really have to communicate in order to get success and win titles and stuff. Like, you've got to be on the level. You've got to be able to say, what the fuck are you doing? And, you know, mark him and stuff like that. And so you get this really strong bond quite quickly, I think, from playing pro clubs together. So, yeah, man, it's pretty sick.
See, just hearing you speak of that, man, it brings back, because, like, you probably, with music, it has to get stressful at times, right? It has to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so... So now, as a content creator, I play FIFA every day of my life, make videos every day of my life, and I just sit there and, like, Ultimate Team gets so frustrating. Just hearing, like, you just reminding me how fun FIFA could be within Ultimate, like, in clubs.
Yeah.
Dude, it was, so yeah, I started that way too, dude. I started and I was scoring, I was getting, like, I had, like, the most assists in the world. I was, like, number one as a striker, remember that? So
yeah.
I upload, that was my first YouTube video, and it kind of just shot from there, and then I did that career mode and into Ultimate Team. You never played Ultimate Team, or you played Ultimate Team?
Yeah, no, I was Ultimate Team was what I did before I found pro clubs, and yeah, Ultimate Team is more stressful, I think. You know, and obviously you can find yourself like 20 grand in debt all of a sudden.
Easily with EA Sports, the way they get you, bro. I don't know.
There was a few versions of the game where I was in deep, and before I realized that the best time to open packs was on the days when they bring out the promotional packs, I would just spend hours, because I obviously didn't get it, or I'm thick as fuck or something, I don't know.
Yeah. But
I'd spend hours literally trying to get Pogba just by opening packs and packs, like trying to get 100 grand or whatever it was to get him. And I think it took a bit of my soul, to be honest. So yeah, I've got just a bit of trauma attached to Ultimate Team for me. I will get back into it at some point.
Nah, dude, yeah. it's so
don't, like, don't do
no,
it.
It's like, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
They will suck the soul right out of you.
Dude, it's so good to like hear like you know, the fact that you walked away from Ultimate Team is so good to hear, like, the outside perspective, because, like, dude, every time we do these podcasts, we're just raging about Ultimate Team. Me, we'll bring on, like, another content creator. We're just screaming about it, how much money you waste, how much, you know, like, just the amount of time you put into packs to get nothing, and it's crazy. So you being a non-content creator, you found yourself just keep reloading and just keep going and going, trying to get these packs, huh?
Yeah, man. I was just doing that. I mean, now that I know that, like, you know, I can just go and spend a bit of money on the promos and get some decent players. But even so, like, the sort of mechanics of it have changed a little bit since I was really into it. You know, the weekend league and all this stuff. Like, I still haven't got acquainted with it all. I think if I got into it, I'd probably, you know, be quite addictive. But I just haven't had enough hours in the day to, like, really get into it. Because once I'm in, you know, the rest the rest of my work will suffer, probably.
Yeah. Nah, I think
we don't want that, because we want the bangers to keep coming out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think if you're going to get back into Ultimate Team, not this year. I think this year is kind of like one of those, like, because like you said, Weekend League, they're kind of like transitioning away from Weekend League now, it feels like. And they're going I think there's going to be like a new mode coming in the next couple years. It feels like there's going to have to be a new type of mode coming in the next couple years. Back to pro clubs. You and your homies, y'all are good.
Yeah. We're a good team. We're a decent team. We've got a really good any. Ryan, a shout out to Ryan Haywood. He's the glue that keeps us together. But yeah, I'm pretty clinical in front of goal. I got I've got to nearly 1,000 goals or something. Like, I don't know.
One English player, name yourself. You Harry Kane?
I'm me in the pro clubs team.
No. If you had to like mimic your game to a player in real life, who are you?
Well, as you know, with pro clubs, like, to be an effective striker, you have to make yourself a little bit more diminutive. You got to make yourself a bit more sort of like Aguero type. So I'm more like a, I'd say
Michael Owen.
Like a Michael Owen. I guess my guy is kind of a bit Messi-esque, the way he just kind of cuts in from the right as opposed to the left, and whip a few in the far corner.
I feel like pro clubs needs to be where like the pro scene's at for like FIFA. I feel like 11v11 or like 5v5 like pro scenes.
Oh man, that's great. I mean, I played with like Thibaut Courtois not long ago and a few other guys, and we played a bit of pro clubs. I think it's sick. And like you say, like, all joking aside about how people get pissed off with Ultimate Team, it's a more healthy environment to game. You've got the competitive aspect of it, and I think there's still a lot of scope for them to grow pro clubs and maybe bring in some, you know, monetize it in some way or whatever as well, and you know, improve it.
It needs to be improved a lot. It needs a whole makeover.
If they can add
monetization to it, I think that's when they would really take the step of bring it up. But I truly believe that pro clubs has the most potential of almost any game mode in gaming. Like, it's such, because it's football, isn't it? And football is just huge.
Yeah. It's a team game as well at the end of the day. And it's a team game. Yeah, I mean, I love it. I almost look at FIFA as pro clubs now in a way because I've played so much of it. Like, I'm more used to playing as a pro rather than, you know, playing like one-on-one games. You know, I still whoop anyone easy, but, you know.
I love the competitiveness, bro.
You know how I know this dude plays FIFA? Because he says that anyone who plays FIFA says that shit. They don't even, half of us don't even believe it. Yeah, half of us don't even believe that shit, but we're just like, hey, yo, play me, I'll beat the shit out of you.
Because anyone who's grown up playing FIFA knows you've got to put on a bravado just to get in someone, because that's the mental edge FIFA, isn't it?
Yeah, dude.
You got to get in their head, bro. You got to get in the head early.
If you grew up FIFA, there's some type of toxic in your head, like you just have it back there. It's just
there's definitely some demons in you.
There's no way you don't play this game and have it in you. And Jay, we'll talk more about pro clubs real quick. One more time. Name of the album, James.
It'll All Make Sense in the End is the name of the album.
Yeah. Guys, Spotify, it's on Apple Music, it's everywhere. If you're not streaming this yet, next time you play a game of FIFA, you know what time it is, man. Put on my boy James' album and let that thing start from beginning to end. You got 4 albums now, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's my 4th album now, yeah.
This is going to sound weird. Which one was the funnest?
This was definitely the funnest because I've never made an album all in one spot before. So I made it in my house. So there was like this comfortability thing. So like I literally could just go and play a bit of pro clubs and then nip back to the studio, lay down some vocals. And yeah, it was the process of making an album normally is I'm in LA for a few months. I'm studio hopping. I'm working with different people, traveling around, and you know, it can be quite taxing. Emotionally, physically, you know, it's fun, but there was just something about making it all from my own space and being a bit more in control that I loved about this particular record.
Yeah. Did you do a lot of like touring in the US or no?
I was supposed to be in the US like all of last year. Like that was
supposed to be. That's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, this COVID messed up everything, brother.
Are you on flights a lot? I'm actually this question because I travel a bit and like, I don't know, man. I like flying, but I don't like flying. I don't know how y'all artists, just tell them about this, bro.
Use the pussy.
I don't like planes, but I do it. Like that shit's not cool. You're in the air, bucko. Like how are you supposed to have a good time? You're in the air with no parachute. That shit is not fun. Like no one's like, oh, look, I'm in the air. This is great. You like that shit or what?
I mean, I don't love it. Like, there's something like, I don't know, it's probably because we're so, like, symbiotic with our technology now and our phones and stuff. And when you're on a flight for 12 hours, if they ain't got Wi-Fi, you start having a fucking mental breakdown. So, yeah, I'd rather be in civilization than be in the air, you know, most of the time. But, I'm used to it now. It's really kind of part of the job. It's, you know, I'm very lucky I get to travel around the world, but yeah, like you, I don't love flying. I've got this thing that I'm gonna be in that 1%, like this self-fulfilled prophecy that I'm gonna be.
Me too.
I'm gonna be in the 1%, even though it's so unlikely to happen.
I got this weird thing with me, bro. The day before I get on a plane, I'm like, man, what if this pilot's having a really fucked up day?
Yeah.
That's what I think of. Yo, let me fly this shit. If I was flying this shit, no problem. I'm good, bro. I flip this shit upside down. Let me take the wheel. But when this guy's flying, I'm like, bro, what if this guy's like, what if he's like had a couple beers and now he's taking this shit? Yeah.
you're having a little peek at in the cockpit before you walk.
I feel like before I get on a plane, they should let me have a one-on-one. I'm like, hey man, how's your day going? Oh, you're good?
Yeah.
Are you good with your wife? Everything good at home?
Wife good. Kids all right. Drink much. I'm the same, man. I have a lot of irrational feelings towards flying.
Yeah. What'd you eat for dinner, bud? Just so we're on the same page here, man, before I get on this plane. Nah, man, that's I've always like, cause as a footballer and then as like a musician, I think they're probably the ones who travel like, man, they travel like a footballer dude. He's on a plane.
And it's worth, you know, for like footballers as well. Well, they probably fly private a lot of the time, but I don't know. Yeah, it's the internal flights. Like when you're in the US on tour, you might take a little rickety ass propeller plane to.
Yeah, those are bad, bro.
You know what I mean?
I won't sit on that shit. I won't. If I walk out and that shit has a propeller, I'm like, hey babe, I'm missing this flight. Yeah, you go by yourself. Yeah. I'm gonna catch you in a little bit. This one's not for me, bucko.
Yeah, what's the drive? 12 hours. Let's do it. Let's do it.
problem. Y'all are the same. I've never done, like, I'm nervous getting on a plane, of course, because, you know, you can't, you don't, you have no control. I always think of the destination. I'm like, you know what? It sucks where I'm at now. It not really sucks, but when I get there, it's going to be cool. So let's go see.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Let's go do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the traveling part about it's sick. It's just the buildup where you're like, oh man. For like, for example, like my manager, I was talking to him like last week. We were in like Texas together and he like flies everywhere. I'm like, dude, how do you do this, bro? You're on a plane like every day. He's like, oh man, just I get on there, I have time to work. I'm like, what, dude? I'm on this thing and I can't like work. I can't think about nothing except for like, oh, what if this bitch falls?
It's the taking off, isn't it? It's the taking off and the landing. That's the only thing you got to worry about. But yeah, once you're in the air,
That's where I'm actually like dumb. Like that's where I know something's wrong in my brain. When I'm taking off, like, oh, this shit's so much fun. Oh, this is so cool. Really,
right.
And then I'm up in the air and I'm like, oh shit, now we're up here. What happens next? But that, the most dangerous is going and landing, right? That's what they say.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, once you're in the air, you're pretty, I mean, it's like the likelihood of anything going wrong is, you know.
Yeah, so I mean the likelihood of anything happening like at all is so slim with those things. Oh man, it's incredible. All right, man, I got one more for you, dude. If you could work with any artist, this is a weird one. You don't have to answer this because I know a lot of times like, hey man, if you want to collab with a YouTuber, who would it be? I'm like, ah, I don't know, dude. Like it's a weird one. But if you had someone you could collab with
in terms of in the YouTube space, you mean? Or
not, just like as a feature on the album or you could get anyone. You could get Eminem to rap on your album. Would you like? I mean,
you might have just hit the nail on the head with Eminem. I mean, I definitely grew up, like I said, I'm a big hip hop fan. I love the, you know, I'm in pop music and rock and R&B and soul and all that kind of stuff, obviously. But there's, I love the idea of maybe collaborating with a Jay-Z or a Drake or a J. Cole or you know, someone like that, like lending my voice to a big player in the rap world. I would love to do that. I was lucky enough to work with Ty Dolla $ign. That was amazing.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, man. I'm just really like, I never used to think about it a lot, but I'm really up for collaborating with people these days. I'm kind of up for anything, really.
Yeah, no. I swear, like, our spaces are so, they're so the same, but they're so different. Because obviously it's music, and then it's like, because it's all the entertainment, YouTube and the music industry, it's all the same. I know when it comes to me with the whole collabing with people, even if they're my friends, I will not reach out and be like, hey, you want to jump on this video with me? Like, it's just a weird thing to do with people. It's a tough one, right?
Yeah, it's a difficult balance to find, because I meet people in music all the time that are like, we should do something, but you kind of don't want to. I don't know, you always, I suppose it's definitely an irrational fear of like feeling like you're begging or whatever.
Exactly. You know what that is though, because my audience is 80% English, and when I was coming up back in like 2011 2012, I was coming up through the scene back then, if you tweeted something at another content, oh, look at this little beg, and I'm like, wait, dude, I swear I'm not that, I don't want that, I'm not trying to get views off him, I just want to do something.
We definitely have that. That's a bit of a toxic thing we have in our culture in Britain, where you're a beg if you get online and you ask people to do anything. Like it's been a weird thing for me with like TikTok recently. Like TikTok is like such a key thing in the music industry now, and I have an unhealthy relationship with it, because I don't see myself getting on there and being like, hey, buy my new single and stuff, because I still come from the old record buying music industry. Like I've been lucky enough to cross over and still be able to sell, you know, be a big streaming artist. But yeah, like it's so much of it is like, you know, on TikTok and YouTube and all that kind of stuff now. And so, yeah, you know, you see the comments, they're like, oh, this guy shouldn't be on TikTok. So why? I'm just, you know, why can't I be on this? Why can't I be talking to you guys on here and stuff like that? You know, in terms of the collaborating thing, to answer your question, I'd love to do more stuff like this, because I had a lot of fun talking about footy with you lads.
Yeah. It's a good time. The thing about, because I'm with you, bro. Like I said, I do this space, but the TikTok one is one that I need to be on. But I just can't. I feel like I don't fit in a way with like the younger audience now.
Like men, isn't it? Like I think, I don't know whether as blokes, you know, football fans and stuff. There's definitely a culture with us, I think. Maybe some toxic masculinity or some shit. I don't know.
I don't know what it is neither. I don't know. I just feel like I don't hit the TikTok scene properly. Like when I get on there, just, I don't know, man. It feels so.
You know what it is? I'm going to tell you what it is.
Huh?
We getting old as hell. No. It's when we grew up, bro. Like, you're my brother, dude. I've never in my life. You are who you are. I've never come out to him and be like, hey, man, you want to do a video? And you're my own little brother. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't do it because even though we're family, it's like, yeah, I don't want to be begging somebody to do something. So I just think it's like the era, bro. Like, I think things are changing now. And the whole begging thing is like going away, it seems like. But I don't do it either. I guess we're all the same, dude. It's the age we grew up in, bro.
Some of my closest friends in this industry, bro, I could do a video with them right now, and I'm just like, I don't really want to hit them up. I don't know. You just get this weird one. So it's interesting, bro, because like the same stuff happens within music and because it's true, bro. You meet so many people that are like, hey, let's do something one day, and you're like, oh, if I hit this person up, then I think I'm begging.
Well, I suppose in some ways it's a good thing. It says a lot about your character. I suppose it means you're humble and you know you don't. You know, says
you never got too big headed about the whole thing.
Yeah, you don't want to bother people. You know what I mean? You want to do it on your own sort of thing. So it's probably an integrity thing. You know?
100%, dude.
Quick question. Besides FIFA, just out there, because what other genre of game, if any other game, do you play besides the whole FIFA when you do have some time to play some video games?
Well, I actually got into Far Cry quite a bit. I really enjoyed Far Cry. It was like 4 and 5 were the two that I played a fair bit. I missed the boat on Call of Duty. I love playing it, but I'm absolutely shit.
Same.
I'm so bad. I die within seconds. I just feel like a passenger. It gets to the point where I feel embarrassed because like I'm just letting the team down. So I need to like put in some hours. I can see why everyone loves it. I got really into Fortnite, actually, during the pandemic. I loved that. But then it got to a point, again, where it was like, okay, there's just people that have been playing this game for too long. And
They build a castle in 2.5 seconds, bro. I can't.
Those fucking 12-year-olds' hands move at a different speed, man. They're not built like us no more, man. It's in the chicken or whatever they're eating. I don't know what they got going on. But those hands, they build something way too fast. I don't get it.
Mate, I played in this like tournament recently. I guess it was like some celebrities or whatever were playing with like pro gamers, and I got put on a team with this like 14-year-old kid. He's called Andretta. I don't know if you know of him. He was like in the World Cup of Fortnite players, and like these kids these days, they're like little robots. And all due respect to that kid, because he was a lovely kid, but like you could tell he spent all day playing Fortnite and like I was just like dying and shit, and he was just like, yeah, maybe it's because you're like older and like your reactions are a bit slower. I was like, you cheeky little cunt, what the fuck is
I would have been like, yo, I'm done with you.
He's like, maybe, yeah, bro, because he spoke to me like a row. He's like, bro, maybe it is because you're reactions are slow, and I was like, there's nothing wrong with my reactions, man. I'm in the prime of my life.
Hey, you know what it is? The younger generation's built different. They're like the YouTube comments and TikTok comments, but in real life. Like they'll just say and be like, hey bro, you were supposed to leave that in the comments. You're not supposed to say that here, bro.
Yeah,
like,
these symbiosis with Fortnite.
They're making them now, bro. They're growing these kids. I don't even know what's going on anymore,
that
bro.
That shit is wild, bro.
So wild.
Yeah, that's a crazy one. So what's up for you next, man? You got tours coming or what?
Yeah, man, I'm actually touring in March. I'll be going around the UK in March, and then I'll be coming to the US in April for a month or so. So I'll be all over the US, all over North America. So I'll be in DC, which is
right next to home.
Whoa! When do you come to DC? Do you know? April.
April or May. I'll have to have a look at the. But yeah, man.
Damn, Jay, you were quick with that.
Yeah, bro, I caught that real quick,
bro. Wait, where? Do you know what's at?
Oh shit! I should look. I haven't got my phone on me.
Don't worry about it. You don't need. I wonder if you're. There's a place called the Echo Stage. I wonder if you're going there. That's a big place here. Maybe you're not going there.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I think it's like a theater tour. So I don't know whatever the like sort of big theater there is. I guess will be.
Oh, there. What's that one, Jay, called? It's like the Wolf.
No, I don't think it's Wolf. Is it Wolf Trap? I think it's Wolf Trap.
Well, that's a big theater. Anyways, you don't have that. That's crazy. So you're coming out to the US?
Yeah, coming out to the US. I'll be playing, you know, the new album and stuff. And that's kind of the plan with touring. Then I'll just be working on another record. Keep hustling.
Hey, how fast do you go into another record?
Well, I mean, I wasn't supposed to come into this one as quick as I did, but because I didn't have touring last year, I just made the record. But I'm trying to squeeze another one out really quick. I was saying to Jay before we went live, I was saying I'm going to try and like quickly bang one out before Christmas. But yeah, no, I'm going to try.
Oh, wait, that sounds like a Christmas album. I don't, no spoilers.
I have got a Christmas song coming. That's an
exclusive. You do?
Yeah, man.
Okay. Your voice fits that.
I wasn't supposed to say that, I don't think, but maybe it's a world exclusive.
Oh, there we go. Exclusives here on the podcast, hey, my guy.
You just got us into the top 30. Go on, son. Straight to the top 30. Hey, man, I don't want to waste your time and keep you here too long. Jay, you got anything else you want to talk about?
No, go ahead.
People call me Jay, so I forget sometimes you're talking.
Yeah.
I feel like I had something else I wanted to chat. There's a lot of, we got live listeners. Anything you guys want to talk about real quick before we let James go, man? But again, dude, before we do let you go, man, congratulations on all of your success throughout these last couple years, man. It's been absolutely hey, how's the process go of this is a weird one. This is one I got this for you. So, for example, like you and like Ed Sheeran and all them boys, y'all got it going over there in Europe, right? And then like it happens in the US, I feel like so much later sometimes. Is that you get what I'm saying, Jay? Like they'll be big. Yeah. And like, cause I remember the first time I heard like you or even Ed Sheeran, people were like, oh, you don't know who this is? And I was like, oh, I just heard him now for the first time. Like it's a weird one.
Yeah, well, I think in the UK, in Europe, especially in the UK, we turn around singles a lot quicker. Like with radio, there's only two major radio stations here in the UK. So it's easier to kind of go through a few singles. Whereas in the US, obviously, there's like unlimited radio stations. So whenever we go over there, we have to literally tour around every single one of them in every territory to get playlisted and stuff. So and so that means that singles take almost a year later to hit America. If you have a hit in the UK, it's like a really big hit in the UK, it's probably going to be a hit in America, but it'll take a year to sort of circulate and reach
That's
everyone.
Crazy.
So hold on a second. So are you like moving on to the next thing and then they're like, oh yeah, it's a hit there, and then you're like, okay, we're touring over there? Is that how it basically works?
I've had a situation where like, I'm like three singles down the line, and like the Today Show in America want me to play the single that was out in the UK.
That's
like,
crazy.
That's insane.
That's kind of like that with, there was a song many years ago. You remember the song Cheerleader?
Yeah.
You remember that song? I think that song was popular. I remember my girl said that song was out for like 4 years before it actually even got popular in like the US. You remember that song, Jay? Like, I think I found myself a cheerleader or something like that.
Yeah. I know this song.
So it's crazy how like the whole lifespan of a song, it could be like hit somewhere and then only get here and then now it's big. That's wild, dude. So a lot of times you'll be moving on, then you got to come play that song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just because, like I said, America is so vast, and I suppose, you've got to try and fit everything in.
Yeah, we're built different over here, man.
Yeah,
it's a whole nother world on this side. Yeah,
does touring, like, all is it bad? Like, do you at times? I know you probably love it, but is there times that you're like, you know, this is a lot. You know what I mean? Like, do you?
Yeah, it's definitely taxing on the body, like, and the voice mentally. Yeah, it can be. Yeah, you know, because sometimes you're not getting much sleep, and especially like I used to try and burn the candle at both ends. I'd like get off stage and then party until the next gig, and then. Whereas now, you know, it's all about managing your energy and stuff. But yeah, it's taxing. You know, you get on stage for like nearly a couple of hours every night, and the songs can be demanding, and you throwing a guitar around and stuff. Yeah, and then you get on a bus. Do you know what though? I'm really blessed. Like, I can't complain. Yeah. I've got it comfortable. I've got to a point in my career where, luckily, you know, my team and everyone, they make it as they've curated it to be as comfortable as it can be for me. So it's great, and I get to see the world.
The teams are. I know when I joined, like my management team a couple years back, that shit's so helpful, man. It's big to have a good team. All right, you know, I got to hit you with this last question, then I'm gonna let you go on. Well, actually, before I hit you with the last question, one more time, y'all. Fellas, hair loss is real. You guys know it's real. You know it's out there. You know it's happening. Jay, why do you always laugh when I start talking about this, bro?
Because like, I know mine's falling, bro. So every time you say it, I feel like you're talking directly to me.
I'm not, bro.
I'm like, did I take it today? And I already took it, so I'm fine. So hey, keep going.
Big shout out to Keeps, man, once again, for sponsoring today's episode. Thank you to Prediction for always helping us put this together, man. If you guys are ready to take action with your hair loss and you're ready to keep your hair, all right, make sure to head over to keeps.com/stick. That's right, keeps.com/stick and get your free month. And then after that, just $10 a month, man. You'll start seeing results in 4 to 6 months. It's a great product. I wish it would have been around for me to save my hair, but I just wanted to give a quick shout out one more time to Keeps. I got to hit you with this, James, and then you're free, bro. X Factor. It's not big over here. We don't really got that. What do we have over here, Jay?
I don't know, like American
voice?
Idol,
the voice. Voice, yeah. How was that? Like that, is that, was that a fun experience? Was that something?
I think we have that here, to be fair, but I'm not really sure.
Do we have X Factor? No, we have American Idol. That's what we have.
No, I think X Factor flopped in America. I think it had like 2 seasons or something like that. But yeah.
We have the voice now. That's like a big one here. The voice and then something called like the Mask Voice.
The Mask Singer.
Yeah, that one.
That's taken off in the UK now as well. Yeah, X Factor is sort of a bit of, it's American, The Voice is the one that I think is popular around the world. X Factor was popular in the UK for like 10, 12 years. It now doesn't exist. It got cancelled last year or something like that.
Yeah.
But I forgot what the question was, bro.
Nah, so you won that, right? So how was that like whole experience? Was that...
It was the best and worst experience of my life because it was quite traumatic. Like I'm a guy that come from like nothing really, and so it meant that show propelled me into overnight fame and success in this country, which was a lot to adapt to because I always knew I wanted to be a musician and I wanted to be successful in music, but I knew that fame potentially was a byproduct of that, but I never really was prepared for that, and people having an opinion on me and stuff. So I dealt really badly with it when it happened to me at first, and kind of self-sabotaged a little bit. Luckily, I managed to stay the course with, I guess, having a great fan base and producing music that people wanted to hear. But yeah, the process itself of the X Factor is, it's a bubble. It's really intense. You're on TV to. In the UK at the time when I was on it, it was the biggest thing on TV. So, it was really, really intense. But of course, it gave me the platform to kind of do what I do to love, do what I do as for a living.
Yeah.
So, I look back on it with kind of fond memories, but also I also feel a little bit like PTSD from it.
I feel that 100%. Everybody listening, Apple Music, Spotify, Twitch, James, Arthur, as you guys can see, unbelievable person. You are a very, very down-to-earth person, bro. I respect it, man. You are.
Thanks, dope, man. You guys are awesome as well. Thanks for having me on. I love the show. And I'll be an avid listener from now on as well.
For sure, brother. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. And good luck. Good luck with the new album and, of course, with the rest of the success that this last album gave you, man. Like, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you.
Real quick, y'all, if I'm introducing you for the first time to James Arthur, I probably haven't. You guys know who he is. He has a huge song called Say You Won't Let Go. Now, I know, James, you're probably like, yo, stop talking about that one. We got the new album. The new album's a banger, dude. You guys have to listen to it. I guarantee you, if you put it on right now and you put the song September, I guarantee you guys will like it. James, you're a legend. Big shout out to Prediction for putting us this all together. Appreciate Jay with everything, man. And again, shout out to Keeps. Guys, that is another episode of Stick Talk. I love you guys. I appreciate you being a part of it. We will be back later for my stream. But until then, thank you guys so much for listening. James, thank you for coming on, and we will catch you guys in the next one. Bye, guys.
See you later.